Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
On a more serious note, is South Africa still facing water scarcity, and have we found effective ways to combat water scarcity in the near future? It's a topic that's been on our lips for quite a few years now with electrical load shedding. We've been concerned that perhaps our water supply is also in danger. Helping us to understand the situation is Professor Anthony Turton, who's a professor for the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning to you and the listeners, and I hope we can talk about cheerful, happy stuff at the moment.
Well, that's up to you, because we are all nervous about water. We've been nervous about the fact that there was a shortage recently due to maintenance having to be performed at Rand Water Board. We've been concerned about the fact that the water quality may not be as it should be. And of course, looking at our infrastructure maintenance over the past few years, there's a great concern that we may face a collapse in water supply, much the same as we've seen with Eskom. So let's start off. Is there a possibility in the near future for us to see something similar to load shedding, in that we could have water shedding?
Look, I hate to be the Grinch that stole the Christmas, but as we currently stand, I've just checked the data this morning. All the dams, with the exception of the barrage, are 100 or more percent full in the entire Orange and Vaal River system. The barrage is 96% full, so that's as good as 100%. So we certainly have a lot of water in our rivers at this point in time, but that's just one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is how to get the water out of the river into a bulk water treatment work, and that's where Rand Water comes in. And then once it's treated, how does it then get pumped through thousands of kilometers of pipes into each home, all the way from Randfontein on the West Rand to Rustenburg, at Farfield, Rustenburg, and all the way to Secunda on the East Rand. So it's a complex set of infrastructure hoops that it's got to jump through. Lots of different pumps, lots of different retaining structures, etc. And it's almost like a chain where the weakest link is always the one that gets you down.
So we saw a couple of years ago, I think it's 2 years ago, that the SANDF Engineers Corps was deployed to help with a project involving the Vaal. What was that project, and did they complete that project, and has it helped with our water security situation?
Okay, that project was part of the failed sewage infrastructure at Empoleni. All of the sewage works in the so-called Vaal Triangle have failed, and they are all spewing vast quantities of untreated sewage into the Vaal River and ultimately becomes part of our Gauteng drinking water. So the army was deployed. I was actually brought in right at the beginning by the General Officer Commanding the Engineering Formation, and I was part of a technical team that did the early reconnaissance on that. And the army was unable to do anything because armies can't fix up broken pipes, and they can't fix up the fact that people are throwing diapers down the sewage, etc. No army on the planet can fix that up. So all they did was they cleaned out the settlement tanks, etc., and the different clarifiers in the wastewater works, but they were unable to bring about any change. 1 billion rand later, they were treated. So we've now thrown something like 3 billion rand at that sewage problem, and we're still no closer today to finding any solution for that. Because for whatever reason, government refuses to do what is known as a root cause analysis. So they are very, very quick to throw a billion rand at a problem, but they don't know what the problem is that they're actually fixing. And that's the best way to now get patronage out of the system, because if you don't know what you're fixing, well, there's lots of money sloshing around, so lots of people can get bits and pieces of it. And that's unfortunately where our whole infrastructure is starting to come unstuck for exactly that same kind of approach to water services management.
So, Professor Turton, we all as individuals, and not being selfish, just being realistic, are concerned about the quality of our drinking water and the supply of our drinking water. But what people are failing to remember is that Gauteng and neighboring provinces are the hub of our country's economy, and industry, manufacturing, and mining are heavily reliant on water. So this has a direct impact not just on our personal lives, but on our economy. Do you perhaps have any guesstimates or figures relating to the percentage of water that is used by industry to be able to sustain their economic viability in our economic heartland of Gauteng, and how much of that water we are using ourselves from our own resources and how much we are getting via the Lesotho Highlands project?
Yeah, okay, right. There are lots of questions in there, but they're all very good questions. So let's just quickly unpack it now. I don't have all the data in front of me, so I'm going from memory now. But if you take our national water budget, about 63% of that water goes to agriculture. That goes to the food that we eat. So two-thirds of the water is allocated to food, and that's what people don't think of that as water. It takes 1 liter of water to produce 1 calorie of food, so a 3,000-calorie a day diet needs 3 tons of water to sustain every individual. Then the next user is industry, which I seem to recall now from my memory is something in order of 9%. Let's call it 10% of the total water. So it's a relatively small amount of water, volumetrically speaking, that is geared up to a very, very large payback in the economy. Municipal water is something in the order of about 20-odd percent, okay? So that should add up to roughly 100%, okay? So it's roughly that, 20% plus minus to municipals and municipalities. That includes drinking water, but also water to keep small businesses going, factories, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, your dedicated industrial users is roughly in the order of about 9-10%. So that's pretty much roughly what our split is. Now, that opens up a very interesting question now, and that is known as, in the technical world, as a sectoral water efficiency. And the sectoral water efficiency refers to the unit of value created from a unit of water. And you've got different gearing ratios in different industries. So, ironically, a unit of water in mining actually creates a bigger unit of value than a unit of water, say, for example, for domestic consumption. So each of these has got an economic gearing to it. Some of them are counterintuitive, but these are all very, very important things from a strategic water management perspective that need to be considered when national decisions are made about the allocation of scarce water in an arid economy.
Well, I appreciate that insight because I think a lot of people are consumed with this fear of water shedding and not taking into consideration the massive economic impact that a water scarcity, not through the fact that we have waters in the dams, but that we can't get it to certain places, could have on our economy. So I'm going to come back to our very first question, just for those listeners out there that are still so concerned. Is there a possibility that based on our infrastructure, which in some parts is failing, that we can see water shedding on the cards?
Well, we are already seeing what I guess could be called water shedding, but I don't really like that word. That doesn't really, it's not an accurate descriptor. But we've seen, for example, we saw in Ramwater recently when they had to replace a section of pipe or connect one pipeline system to another, that caused a shutdown for a couple of days. That was generally quite well managed from an engineering perspective, but that is an example of preventative maintenance. We have a current ongoing drama taking place in Mgani Water, and that's in Durban area where there's a shaft pump that's broken down, has been broken down for many weeks already, and indications are it's not going to be brought back online for some time because of the inability to repair. They've got to pull this thing out of a 100-meter deep shaft, and they've got to effect repairs, etc. And they just seem to have lost the capacity to do that. So water shedding, unfortunately, if you go on the KZN coast, there are coastal areas that haven't had water or water intermittently, sometimes for as many as a few weeks on end. So water shedding is not because there is no water in the system. Water shedding is generally because there's a breakdown of the infrastructure. And that is why it's terribly important that we get our municipal management systems right, because it's always at municipal area where we find these problems, and it's at municipal area or level where we're going to find the solutions to these problems. And that's why it's very important that we must put technically competent people in charge and adequately resource them in terms of money, in terms of the spare parts that they need. And we, of course, we've got to clean up the supply chain. Because the supply chain management, that's where all of your corruption happens. And we've got to get all of that stuff sorted out. And hopefully now, between now and the new national elections in 2024, people will start really thinking about this and mandate an appropriate political party to get that issue sorted out, because that affects their daily lives probably more than anything else.
On that important note, I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning, and I wish you an incredible 2022.
Thank you very much.
That was Professor Anthony Turton, professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State, bringing us up to speed with the situation in South Africa. We have full dams, but at a municipal level, we are not able to pump it out correctly.